come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is the... Who do I go to? The... Windsock 2000. Forgot your nickname for a second there.
G'day. How's it going?
Good, mate. I nearly called you your name. With us is Christina.
Leaked.
Good evening.
Mouthful of food.
Yep, glad you remembered my name.
Nothing has changed with this place. And with us is Jez. How are you, mate?
Hey, boss. How are you?
Good, good. So this is the third annual Socktober. Two pre-season events we kind of do this side of Christmas. One is Socktober. Then we have the Christmas socking as well. We may even slip in a forecast, a Fiona's forecast too, at some point. But there's normally a bit to talk about this year. It's not quite as eventful as last year. But nonetheless, Essendon seem to be in the news. Doesn't matter what we do, we seem to get dragged in. But I want to start with something controversial, if I could. And it might see a lot of people turn off. The Middle East. No, only joking. Membership. And membership fees. So I'm sure all of you noticed an increase this year. Now, I know everything's going up and inflation is rampant and the old monetary policy lever isn't working. It's just making us all harder up with our interest rates. But I've got a couple of, I don't know, there's something about the email we get, the increase in the fee, all right, fair enough. Then the debit comes out lightning quick. Essendon's are slow to send you stuff. The one thing they're very good at is debiting your accounts, I've noticed. But then the other bit that has happened now to me 2 years in a row is the fee that they quote isn't what they take out. And it's not GST. It's more than GST. Maybe there's a hidden admin fee I don't know about. But it's almost like it's never enough to complain about, and it all goes to the club anyway. But I don't know. I reckon in this, in 2023, when people are hurting, people are struggling financially, I felt maybe, particularly given how we finished the year, they could have given us a free kick, no pun intended, and maybe kept membership fees as they are. Am I a lone ranger here? Does anybody disagree or agree? I know you give a lot of money to the club, all of you, more than me. You even, Windsock 2000, you even bought that stupid millennial book, whatever it was.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
In months to, have you read it yet, by the way?
No, it's still in the box. I'll get it out one day, though.
Now, you want to start, mate?
I don't really know too much how it works. So I mostly pay to the MCC and then I get a bit of a Marvel membership on top of that. So I don't pay a huge amount in terms of club fees. So I didn't really notice the increase. If it was increased, I just pay it. But who sets the membership rates? Like, is it AFL, you know, guided on how much you're allowed to or how much you should be charging? Because at the end of the day, doesn't it all go into the big AFL pool of funds?
Does it? I thought membership
prop up other clubs.
It's probably a point I should have researched. I don't know who sets the fees. Maybe we're about to find out from the other luminaries on this podcast. But isn't membership the one bit where a club can differentiate itself, whereas everything else is collective revenue and distributed, whereas membership's something that you can actually impact?
I think each club's their own membership fee. So it is different. And I think it's more the gate takings on the day that's, you know, more goes to the home team, I think. Is that right? and then the rest goes to the away team. Maybe something like that. Of course, I could be wrong. But I only get a very small membership. I don't even have a seat. So, because sometimes I just can't have every game. So, mine's pretty cheap and I just get a small amount taken out each month. So I have no idea.
Do we have anyone? Yeah, Jez, tell me you give money to the club. Tell me you buy the membership, you buy the full box and dice. Or do you also rely on your MCC?
I'm MCC, so they do a little add-on for MCC members, which I think is what the Winsock was talking about, where you get everything at Marvel for actually not that much. Was it about 70 bucks or 90 bucks or something?
It's less than 100 bucks.
Yeah, it's about 90 bucks. You just get access to Marvel games. So that, but I have had memberships for the kids, a couple of our kids. I've got no idea how much it costs. But you've got to remember also that a little modest increase in the fees this particular year is probably expected because we've got to fund both Dodoro and his puppet, Matt Rosa. We've now got two people to fund in that department, not just the one. So we need a little bit of extra membership revenue to cover that.
So, okay, so let's just fucking can the membership call conversation because it's going nowhere. What is going on there? I thought Dodoro was, this was his last hurrah, this preseason, and then he's just going to have some kind of role in the background, moving cones around the training pit, the ground. Is that not the case?
It's like when you're treading dog shit. It's really hard to get off, and it gets, you know, it sort of hangs around forever.
It's a little bit disrespectful. Is it not? Servant of the club, decades, brought us these tremendous players.
We've got to give credit where credit's due. He's won another trade period. Yes. He's brought home the pre-season premiership again, or the pre-draft premiership.
Why didn't we all go down to Windy Hill after that night, after the trade period ended, and celebrate?
Yeah.
Should have.
I mean, where's the cup, honestly?
Yeah. All right. Well, shall we... Shall we go to the... I might start with the delistings, which is the most recent news. Mm. So the player's gone. Paddy Voss, just pause on him for a moment, or we'll pause on him. James Stewart, 78 games. Will Snelling, 68 games. Then Mankara, Rhett Montgomery, McBride, and Alistair Lord all played one game between them. Do you know which of those players played the one game?
I think Lord was a sub.
Lord, was it?
Yep.
I think he was a sub.
Well, he goes down as having a game. Now, so Snelling, I think, he forged a pretty good career coming a few years ago, mid-season, got the most out of himself. He's inspired a song of the week. Look, well played, but I don't think there's many people that would be surprised or... Is anyone here surprised by that?
No, not at all. I think it was he got the best out of himself with how tall he was and what he could do. And it, by all accounts, he was a really good person, good clubman to be around. But, you know, we're here to win premierships, not the good guy award. So, yeah, definitely time to move him on.
Yeah, definitely a limited player. I mean, small pressure forward who doesn't kick goals. You don't really need a huge amount of them.
No. Jez, any thoughts on Dearly Departed?
On Snell in particular?
Yes. Oh, you could, and maybe you were Voss's. No, stick with Snelling, and then we'll go to Stewart and Voss.
Yeah. Look, he punched above his weight. I think for that there was that year or so where he was pretty integral. But yeah, we got everything we could out of him, and the guy couldn't. We all know the guy couldn't kick the last couple of years. I don't know what his actual problem was, but he couldn't kick further than about 30 metres, and his time was up. And you know, good on him. He goes with our best wishes. He was a good servant.
What about Stewart? My memory of Stewart is multiple Henneman Award winner. Might have even won Henneman of the Year one year.
He had the order close if he didn't.
Oh, yeah, he won a few. He was a shepherder of opposition goals, as in letting opposition goals in. He might be another guy who probably got the best out of his ability physically, pre-injury, had the physical attributes, but maybe not the most skilled player going around.
I really liked him when he came into the club. Like, you know, I thought he could be a really decent forward. He's a really good kick, good mark, good size about him, but never really put it together. And then injuries tried him down back. We know how that went. And that was it. So, yeah, almost. I think we almost had something there.
And you were going to say, Christina?
Oh, just the same thing. Like, you know, he did okay up forward, but as soon as he got a swing down back, you know, try to make a career for you, and that doesn't even really work. So, yeah, it was just a list clogger, really, by the end.
Yeah, harsh but true. And then Patrick Voss, bit of consternation amongst the Essendon faithful. I must admit, I'm surprised for a guy that was never picked. I just got to trust Brad Scott. He's obviously, for whatever reason, not up to it, either on the field or maybe off the field, I don't know. But I don't know, maybe he'll go elsewhere and be a decent player. But as Christina finishes, what the fuck are you eating?
It was like a Thai curry noodles with salmon, so I'm just like slurping the sauce.
Yeah, I can see. It was a great visual. Voss, Jez, now Jez, you were Voss's, one of his admirers. You've seen a lot of VFL. Why hasn't he made it?
I don't know. He was a bit of a left field pick, so I can't remember the details, but I don't think he was like a standout stellar player. I think we picked him up as a bit of a left field pick, a bit of a Hail Mary, and he had size, he had energy. He actually became a pretty good kick for goal, but he was a little lazy, and I think he was a little lazy in the head. Like sometimes he just sort of switched off or just did something silly. His big problem was we had a patch late this year, the year we've just had, where we had injuries in the forward line, and if they were ever going to play him, they would have played him then. And in my head, I'm thinking it was sort of around about round 16, 18, 20, something like that. And like anyone who was half fit was getting a game, and he wasn't getting picked. And that kind of told me they'd already stamped his papers. So I wasn't surprised in the end that he got delisted. I mean, he won the VFL Best and Fairest. So he obviously did a lot right. I saw him kick a lot of goals. But yeah, that he wasn't. Yeah, he was a bit of a rough diamond. That's how I describe him. He was flaky. But yeah, good luck to him. I hope he gets picked up somewhere else. But yeah, he was. People, I think, talked him up more than he was worth in the end. That's, you know, they really wanted to see him get a game because he did do lots of good things in the VFL, but, yeah, he was just a bit flaky.
To me, it reminds me a bit of Courtney Johns, where we looked at him physically and we all wanted him to play until he actually played. We thought, enough of that. Enough of that. All right, now two guys who did play football for the senior team that also left via the trade route was Massimo Dambruzzo. I think if he can't get a game in to your point, couldn't get a consistent game towards the end of last season for Essendon, you're probably not quite up to it. So I'm not that fussed. I'm devastated. No, it's slightly offset by an incoming we'll talk about, but maybe devastated isn't the right word. I'm very, very disappointed that Zirk Thatcher, after putting the time and investment into a key position player, which is what you need to do, finally starts to show it, and we lose him. Christina, do you want to start?
I mean, maybe, you know, life factors got in the way, and perhaps he didn't have the same connection with teammates that he might have had. Like, I think he lived with Michael Hartley when he first started. So he obviously moved on. So maybe he just wanted to go home. And it is a shame because he was playing really well down back. But also we were left wanting when he had to play on the larger forwards. And he just wasn't strong enough for them. And I don't think he's the sort of player that will put on more meat. You know, it's just football. That's what happens, unfortunately. But, you know, Brad's drafted. Well, went to free agency, and we got someone else. So,
but is it a simple Winsock 2000 as a swap for swap, or surely
different player?
Yeah, I would have thought we needed. Like, who's the other key position player aside from the guy we brought in?
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the problem. Like, you know, Lav is still pretty undersized back there, and he's usually given a bit of a task on probably the second tall. And ideally, you want Ridley as free as possible to intercept, right? So, yeah, disappointed that Zerk's gone. I would have liked to see him, you know, have another year. I thought he was, you know, really impressive at times. Got torched a couple of times by the big key forward, but that's where we've got the other guy in there to take that role. But, yeah, he's what it is.
Now, I don't know his personal circumstances, but Adelaide to Melbourne's not that far away. And I've got a 19-year-old who lives in my house. I barely see her. And she lives under my roof. What is wrong with living? Well, to me, that was it felt a little bit disingenuous. I might be wrong. Jez, what's your take?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't really owe us anything. I loved the guy. I loved him. I think we ruined his career early. It took him a long time to get regular senior games. He played 51 or whatever by the end, but like 23 of them, 22 of them were this year. So he had 5 years before that where he's played about as many games as he played this year.
Well, or conversely, we developed him. We invested in him.
Yeah.
We got him to the point where he could play good, consistent footy rather than getting monstered as a toothpick.
Sort of. We kept Hooker on for a bit longer. We kept Hurley on for a bit longer. And then we tried to turn Stewart into a backman. And then we turned Laverty from a half forward into a backman. And all the while, Zirk was treading water in the VFL. And he showed eventually when his time came that he was good enough. And, I mean, for me, a Mackay, Zirk, Thatcher key back two would be better than a Mackay, Laverty back two. But that's not what we've got. I wish him all the best. He was one of my faves, and yeah, I don't know why he left, but I think you hinted at. I think the key to the Zirk Thatcher leaving is that we actually got something coming back our way, which soothes the pain somewhat, because the kid we got coming back the other way, I really quite like.
Yeah, well, and just before we get there, so you're a wish him the best. Is he a wish him the best type player, or is he? Are we on Zirk Judas watch next year?
He's no Judas. No, he's no Judas.
Winstock 2000. Come on, you're as cynical as me.
Yeah, I'll boo him, but I'm yes. not gonna. I don't think he's quite Judas watch material.
He's definitely not.
But just for one season. One season. Boo him for a season. That's him. And then good luck to him.
You're gonna say Kazem?
I'm just saying he's definitely not in the same levels as Fantasia.
Yes,
nah.
Yeah, well, lucky Jez, he's got him at his beloved Carlton. How's that gonna go? What? Why are you picking up a guy who can't get on the field?
I don't know. Is his name kind of? Sort of fit well with the Carlton, traditional Carlton supporter base.
The Carlton crew?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The Carlton mafia.
Let's not say that word. They'll come after us. But anyway, that was a bizarre pickup. But yeah, I don't. I'm
two years as well. Shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't
believe it. Yeah.
But I must admit.
As I said, he will add value to their injury group.
That's true. The medical staff.
Very experienced.
But I'm
injured player.
I like what you've done there, Winstock 2000. I like the idea you boo a guy for a period. Like, I think Joe Danaher's like got 5 years of booing. He's probably got 2 years to go. I agree. Zirk Thatcher, 1 year of booing. That's fair. That's fair. Then we can move on.
Sentence that fits the crime, I think.
Yes. Now, the incomings.
Before you go there, you just mentioned Judas Joe.
Hmm.
There was a rumour that someone from the Winsock put $5 on him to win the Norm Smith medal.
Yeah, that was me, yeah. Yep. Well, I did that just to ease the pain if he was going to win the Norm Smith medal. Because that would have meant, A, that they'd won the flag, and, B, he'd kind of had the ultimate, like, middle finger to us. So, yeah, I did that.
He wasn't far off.
He played really well. He played really, really well. Now, what do we think of the incomings? You've already mentioned one, Jez. And then we've got Goldstein and Jade. We picked up, and then what's the fellow from Port's name again?
Dersma.
I reckon, look, I don't think there's any superstars there, but I reckon we've just enhanced the team 15-20%. I think it's. Well, we did win the trophy. We've won it, the pre-season. Like, again, I'm on board. I'm excited. My membership's been taken out, direct debited. I'm over the fee. I'm excited about the incomings. We're going to draft well. Like, we're on the
up. You fall for this every year.
Yeah.
I fall for it. We all fall for it.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I think those four, they might not be stars, but they all fill big needs for us on our list. And I think it's a great collection of ins. They all fill a need.
So, yeah, I'll go through. You go through them one by one.
Mackay is our gorilla down back.
Yeah. And we spoke about, like, So Christina, your point about Zerk getting monstered at times. We really had nobody to play against the biggest forwards.
Yeah.
We were relying on maybe two, three guys to try and do that.
Yeah.
Can he stay fit, though? That's my question.
Mm.
Winsock 2000, you're...
It's always a million-dollar question. I mean, the list definitely looks upgraded, but a couple injuries can mean a season. I think, McKay will be a pretty key player to keep healthy, which he, I don't think he's done much in his career, has he?
Well, we know one thing for sure is that Peter Wright will be really happy now that he doesn't have to play against him.
True. Very good. Very good point.
He doesn't have to train against him. So that could only be a good thing.
But what are you saying, Winsock 2000? You don't think he's done much, or do you mean?
Oh, he hasn't had many healthy seasons, has he?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's played, 20-game seasons or anything like that, has he?
No.
But with our tremendous track record of of injury management, surely we turn that around, do we not?
Oh, absolutely. Now we've got the psychologist on board, the St Kilda psychologist, and the I don't know who else we stole from North Melbourne.
We got the weight room guy.
Yep.
He was actually just surprised to see equipment that wasn't from 1972. So he's excited. Okay, so that's what do we think about Jade and Dersma? I think we know what Goldstein's going to do. He's going to play the Phillips/Francis role.
Well, Gresham's seems to be this sort of unicorn type. He seems to be both a forward and small. We might have a small forward.
Allegedly.
The owner must be popping champagne corks.
Well, given Davey turned out not to be the Messiah, he was just a naughty boy, at least last year, it's a continuous problem. Is he... How many goals can we expect from him? Is he a goal a game guy? Is he two goals a game? Is he going to
at least a goal a game?
Is he going to go to a new level at Essendon? What can we do to maybe bring out the best in him?
Well, maybe Brad Scott's style will be more suited to him than St Kilda's coach, Ross, because he's more defensively minded. Maybe Brad's more attacking style might be something that will help him bring more goals into his game.
Yeah, good point. I think any forward would be happy to get out of the sort of clutches of Ross Lyon and his dead football.
Mm.
And you mentioned you like Dersma, Jez.
Yeah, he's a great runner. He's a great user of the ball. I don't know. There was talk that he wanted more midfield time or something. I don't know if he'll get that at Essendon, but he should get a wing. And I really like that. I think Nick Martin's great on the wing, but I think he can be better elsewhere. So you might end up with Durham and Dersma on the wings, or Martin and Dersma on the wings, whatever. But I think he'll definitely walk into the team, and I reckon he'll be great. And the bow and arrow is a lovely bit of theatre as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit old-fashioned like that, just fucking get rid of the bow and arrow. But any other comments on the new folk?
Yeah, I think for Gresham, kind of what I've heard is that he was playing a bit more like high half forward rather than just that forward pocket, which seems to be his best position. So hopefully we can just plonk him in there, given we don't have many. We really just have Menzies and him as legitimate forward pockets, and just leave him and let him go to work in there off the, you know, at the heels of Wright and Langford and the like. Hopefully as a great season back to his best. Usman's exciting as well, like legitimate runner. Like before we got Martin, we barely had, you know, any legitimate runners. And now we've got two super, super good runners in the midfield, which is exciting. So hopefully, again, like the rest of them, hopefully they stay fit. They have a full pre-season. I think I've already seen Xavier on the socials doing some pre-season workouts. Hopefully he's fit, he's ready to go and plays a full season.
Yeah, I was gonna introduce a segment actually. I just thought of it about 30 seconds ago. Socials watch. Because, you know, there's been a bit of activity, like there always is. I tell you what, how good is it not to be the subject of off-field issues? What the fuck's going on down at Melbourne?
I missed that one. What's going on down at Melbourne?
Oh,
yeah, spending too much time in the snowfields, I think.
That's very good. That is very good. Yeah. Winsock 2000. Yeah. That might be your best work yet.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, the powder. The powdery ski runs, the black run. not adverse to it anyway. We shouldn't cast aspersions. All right.
Perhaps they enjoyed their premiership win a bit too much and got a bit overexcited during the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. Hmm. Bizarre kind of way that the, you know, the positive drug test came out. Like, I thought, even though it was in season, I guess they're saying cocaine is like performance enhancing, right? Because I thought you get the strikes on the, I thought you get the illicit drugs, I thought you get the strikes. And this guy's, you know, allegedly have one positive test and he's,
well, I think he's been paraded. The substances that are in cocaine that are perhaps correlated with performance enhancing. So not necessarily everything. It might be like whatever the stuff they put in there.
Well, it makes you confident. isn't it related to, yeah, because it, someone was telling me, and I don't know if it's true, that it would depend on the time of day that he took it. So if he took it 5 minutes past midnight, which is quite light, you know, possible, it would be performance enhancing substance. And if you took it 5 minutes before midnight, it's considered recreational. But that could be a load of shit.
I don't know about that, but I know it stays in your system for 3 or 4 days. So when he was tested, it was on the weekend. So then he's doing it during the week at the latest. So,
yeah.
You know, what are you doing during the week when you should be recovering and training? Like, that's...
I know what he's doing.
Recovering in a, yeah. Recovering in a different way. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all a bit stupid, to be honest. Like, unless he's taking it literally before the game, he's not going to get any performance benefits.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, poor bloke. Don't know what's happened to him. I didn't even, never heard of him before anyway, so unlucky.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll move on. Now, Essendon have, the next big thing to happen is the draft. And one thing this podcast has never done is pretended to know like who's who and try and work out all the permutations and which under-18s player. All we know is whoever we're going to pick up is going to be a superstar the day we pick him up. And then when he gets injured in March, we'll be back to square one. What are we – any comment on the draft? Did anybody here follow it at all? Jez, do you keep an eye out?
No, I don't. But we managed to keep our pick, our top pick. So amongst all that trading and all that activity, we somehow still kept our pick, which was 8 or 9 or 10. Perhaps you'll be able to fill us in, Solution, when you've revealed your ladder to us. It's exactly what pick we've ended up with. But whatever it is, whatever our first pick is, we kept, which I think is a real fillip in the cap of the recruiting team. But yeah, no, I couldn't tell you the first thing about any of the players, but it would have been a retrograde step, I think, to bring in 4 mature ages and not have a first rounder. So we've got our first rounder, so all's good.
Doesn't Dersma, isn't his younger brother in the draft?
Yeah, yes. But I think he'll go before 9.
Too good.
He's good. He's real good.
Yeah, he's top 3 talent, I think.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Dodoro loves a good, brother selection.
I'm sure he'll keep a close eye on him in the first couple of years and try and bring him over in year 3 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, Zane Dersma, his name is. So I'm looking at the kind of gold standard of phantom drafts is Cal Toomey. And he has predicted Essendon to get... who is it?
Caddy or something like that?
Oh, actually, he's just done his draft, so we don't know exactly what number we're going to get, do we? But we're looking like...
Nine rings a bell.
Is 9, but doesn't it also depend on clubs, whether they nominate father-son or academy and all that sort of stuff? That's way too complicated for my slow palate.
Yeah, there's a fair bit of that going on. And I think Gold Coast, I think they have quite a lot of academy players that are likely to fall in the top 10. Which is unfortunate for us. So we'll probably end up picking someone at about 12.
Well, isn't it funny you say that? Because at number 12, let me just set the scene. So at like 10 and 11, we got a guy called Connor O'Sullivan, 198 centimetres, key defender forward, sounds perfect.
I did hear about that guy.
Yeah. Jordan Croft. Cal Toomey's predicted number 11. He's a key forward, 201 centimetres, going to be a like big, strong guy. 13.
I think he's father-son Doggies.
Oh, is he?
I think so.
So skipping 12 for a second, 13, Ollie Murphy, 200 centimetres.
Here we go.
Key defender. Guess who's at number 12? Jake Rogers.
5 foot two mid.
Jake Rogers, midfielder, 172 centimetres. It's the Doro's pick.
How will he choose between an undersized midfielder and a tall key position player? 200 centimetres.
You just know it's going to happen, don't you? This guy, Jake Rogers, 172 centimetres, 69 kilograms, midfielder. He is Gold Coast Academy. Small midfield. Listen to this. Rogers is a small midfielder who will work and run and tackle all day long.
Sounds perfect.
He's a wannabe.
That's why Snelling's gone.
Well, that guy's, I've just looked Snelling up. That guy's 3 centimetres shorter than Will Snelling.
I mean, 69 kilos, that's jockey weight.
Maybe a jumps jockey, but anyway, yeah, that's you just know what's going to happen, don't you? 14's a guy called Caleb Windsor, who's a midfielder, 185 centimetres. He'd also be perfect. And then 15 is a midfielder, 185 centimetres. We're going to end up with one of these pricks. Anyway. All right, so that's the draft. They're the ins, they're the outs. Off field, there's been a little bit of change. I'm not going to pretend to go into the detail. I don't know. The North Melbourne, you see an ex-North Melbourne guy and it doesn't get you super excited. This is that fitness fellow they're bringing over. But I'd like...
I believe he's only part-time, though, so it's not like a key role, is it?
Oh, is he?
I think I heard something like that.
Yeah, it's not a full-time role, it's part-time.
But surely the big one we need to talk about is Dodoro. Now, you know, during the draft, he was, you know, there's some of the commentators were saying, look, it's your last draft. Thanks for all the laughs. Or something similar. How will history judge his tenure? What do we think? I've said this many times. I believe in the early part of his career, Kevin Sheedy used to meddle in selections, which is unlike Sheeds to overreach. But I do think he gets a little bit of a pass back in the old days. I'd argue his recent selections have been pretty good last few years, and he's definitely made some mistakes. But you cannot hide away from the fact that, you know, I mean, obviously the saga was created an organisational trauma and a list trauma that we sort of had to recover from. But the reality is we've been shit for ages now.
But I also think that's also a reflection of the coaching that we had as well. You know, we've had so many coaches since 2010, so... And earlier.
But what comes first, the Dodoro or the Knights? You know what I mean? Like, it's chicken or egg.
I reckon it's more to do with coaches and management. You know, you get a good coach, they can turn any team into anything. So
you're giving Dodoro what? What do you give him?
A pass. I'm not going to say he's brilliant, but I don't think it's all him. It's up to the coaches to develop players. Not the recruiter.
Okay, so that's a Dodoro tick column. Let me go to you, Jez.
He bleeds red and black. He's been there forever. I just don't think anyone in modern football should have the same role for 20 years. I just think clubs should be... Succession should always be part of any... senior position at the club and building a team who could have taken over from him 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I think was all part of the job description. And now that didn't happen. And I just think his time's up. He could have had the best pre-season or whatever we've just had trade of all time, but his time's up.
I don't disagree, but that doesn't answer the question I'm asking, which is looking back, how do you rate his tenure? What do you give him? So, okay, what part of that is succession planning? Didn't do that. That's a cross. I'd argue far more important succession planning is the players that we bring in.
He's had plenty of hits. He's had plenty of misses. The saga obviously cleaned out a whole lot of players that he recruited, and there are players who he recruited who were playing on grand final day and playing for other teams on grand final days past. So I think he's actually got a pretty good eye. He had a blind spot at Essendon for small forwards. I don't know why we could never get small forwards, but
he's got small midfielders.
I think overall he's actually got a pretty good eye for a player and a pretty good eye for a deal. Yeah, but as I say, he could have, he could be the best at that, and I just think his time's passed, and that regeneration is is important. It should have happened 10 years ago. But
he couldn't even succession plan his hair. He's still got that sort of late 80s mullet.
Is it a mullet or not? Because it's really, when you look at it from the back, I mean, when, from some angles it looks like a mullet, but on other angles there's a hell of a lot of visible neck there. It's not really a long mullet.
I tell you what, it's a really good question. In my opinion, I'll tell you what it is. It's guys who really embraced and rocked the mullet back in the day, gold standard, Gary Ayres. What they'll do is they realise it finally, a lot later than most, that the mullet kind of had to go, but they still kept the foundations of the mullet. The top bit was kind of mullet, except it didn't have the party at the back, but it was still shaped like it could be a mullet at any point, and I think that's what he rocks. He's an 80s man, you can tell.
It's kind of the Adam Sandler hair from The Wedding Singer.
I'm going to look this up because I can't remember.
Oh, my gosh.
It kind of, like, fits slick.
It's a volume. It's not Daddy's hairstyle.
Bit of volume. Oh, yeah, okay. He's definitely been using the Head and Shoulders. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know. But, all right, so you're giving him a sort of a pass as well. Very apologetic here, very un-Winsock-like. Winsock 2000.
So I think the list was, like, in a pretty decent position pre-saga, and obviously that, you know, fucked us up pretty badly. And, you know, Job was it. But not, I mean, Job fell into his lap, so he gets no credit for that. But, you know, he's such a great player at the time, and we never really replaced, you know, him in the midfield. And it took us a long time for some reason to find another big midfielder. And I think we're still working that out. We're still working with undersized midfielders.
Well, especially when we draft this prick who's 172 centimetres. But anyway.
Yeah, not going to help, really.
No, Jake Rogers.
Yeah. I mean, he hit on a couple key positions, like Hurley and Hooker. Carlisle was good. You know, he missed on a couple in, you know, Gumby and Bradley. And, you know, so, I don't know. Yeah, fine. Everyone hits, everyone misses. But I think that, yeah, not prioritising the midfield enough was kind of the downfall. There was one other move that was that kind of struck me as unexpected, I guess, and that's Carousella to the VFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The highest paid assistant in the league, allegedly, is now a VFL coach.
I didn't read the thing, but is he still going to have a senior team line role or anything, or has he literally been pushed to the VFL?
It wasn't very clear.
It was pretty brief.
Because Lee Tudor didn't have I think he had a development type role, but he didn't have a line coach, you know, in the box on senior game day role.
Well, I don't know if can you can, because the training times are so different. But
question for me is, I know Voss getting delisted after winning the VFL Best and Fairest might suggest the VFL isn't that important. But is coaching the VFL team, being responsible solely for that, definitely a demotion from being a shitty line coach?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Absolutely.
I think it totally is, because I think Carousella, when he came across, was very much not just a line coach, but also a sort of a strategy coach and a game plan, ideas man. Yeah, so I find that really interesting if he's being relieved of his duties as a senior assistant.
It's a good pickup in SOC 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get the goss on what really went down and why, and or whether it's something he actually would prefer to do. Maybe he and Brad don't see eye to eye, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I think it's a very interesting move.
Yeah. Whether, you know, need to make a bit of room to bring someone else in, or Monsieur is going to be replaced, that's for sure.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we did expect Scott to sort of have a bit of a look around in the first year and then to start ringing the changes. So I guess that's what we want. We want transformation. But it is definitely interesting. I know one thing, Carousel is looking must be tough being involved with Essendon, because Carousel and Gene Siracusa, they both look about 70 with their grey hair. They look like a couple of, I don't know, they look like they come from a mountain or something. I don't know.
Not the George Clooney Salt and Pepper Club.
They're not. They just look old. They just look old.
Yeah, it does.
Maybe Rutten did that to them. Yeah, interesting. Well, we'll watch your space, I guess. Anything else on anything to do with the club? Jez, hand up.
Yep. So one thing that happened since our last gathering was the Crichton, and Zach Merritt, obviously a worthy winner in my eyes.
Yes.
Langer's really hot on his heels, like really close, was 211 votes for Zerrett and 191 for Langer's.
And can you just explain the voting method? Oh, no, we don't have 3 hours. Don't worry about it.
No, and I don't know it, but that was relatively close. So I think Red Dog was next at about 160-something. The two that I wanted to draw attention to, one does well done for getting in. He got in the top 10. He came ninth. And for a kid who's mid-season pick-up off the scrap heap, was it last year, 2022?
Oh,
yeah. You know, good on him for...
Adoro, tick.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, yeah. But the one that I think would have really surprised a lot of people is Pidge coming fourth. And I'm a big Pidge fan, and I think we did at the end of season... I put my hand up and said, look, I think he had a really bad year this year, even though I'm a big fan of his. And I was really surprised to see him pushing up into fourth. But good on him. You know, he's obviously doing whatever the coach wanted, even if it wasn't what we all thought he could do. But that was a real surprise in my eyes.
Is there a chance that maybe he does 1%ers or half a percenters, or... He's doing stuff on the periphery in games that we don't see. No. I know, perish the thought that fans wouldn't know everything about footy, but
I know. And you can't see everything on the telly either. We're all ball watching, even at the game, and so sometimes you
TV can't even follow the fucking ball. So yeah, you're right.
But if you're watching Fox, you're not getting much ball. But no, that's like he wasn't the worst player of the season. He also played every game. That helps you in the Crichton. Like Langford and Merritt missed games, and the fact that they still were, you know, far and above him kind of shows you. If you play all the games and you're still getting like smashed by people who aren't playing all the games, then yeah, in the Crichton, that means you're not playing great.
Well, Archie probably falls into that category. He wouldn't have missed any games.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guys like Jai Caldwell who smashed him in the Crichton.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. All right. Well, normally about this time of the podcast, we go to the douche deity or anyone got anything?
I have been sitting here wondering, it's been 2 months since We Are the World was released. Has there been any interest out there from the agents?
We Are the Bombers. I have been fielding Fielding offers.
And, all of us or just for Andy Merle?
Yeah, Andy Merle. Yes. Needless to say, most of the offers have been for us to never do it again. People are offering us wads of money. But, yeah, we got a reaction of it. I've actually had some people reach out to me and say that the funniest one I heard was somebody say to me that they were equal parts laughing, equal parts in pain. But then the pain almost made the laughter better, but then the laughter almost made the pain worse. It was something, I'm paraphrasing, but they, yeah, it was good. If you've got any doubt, song of the week of the final podcast of the season was We Are the Bombers. We did a We Are the World thing. We all got into the studio. We did the song. It was magnificent. Made me laugh, I tell you.
Great.
Yeah, all right. Well, so Song of the Week, I did do a Song of the Week this week. Did any of you fuckers listen?
No.
No, because you like embedded it in the chat differently to usual. Well, usually you just click the button and you can listen to it. Man.
You can still click it.
It looked weird. I didn't trust the link.
You didn't like the vibe.
Mate, it's not like the links that your mum sends you. They're fine. Yeah, well, anyway, I did a song. It's called, the song's called Moron in the Mirror, but it's to Man in the Mirror. And it's it was inspired by the Essendon direct debit situation. I don't know. I find it very, I don't know. I get it.
So it's kind of a self-deprecating thing, is it? Is it, you're talking about the fan, I guess?
I'm talking to, yeah, it's referencing what it's like to, like, you know. You
support think, Essendon.
You're not going to get, yeah, that's right. You're not going to get sucked in, but then the direct debit comes out and you're fucked, you're in, basically, is the kind of the premise. But
I just hope Winsock 2000 is something more than a bloody sticker in his pack this year.
Oh, better have something we fucking do, I tell you.
Just for those who don't remember or didn't hear, explain what happened with your membership pack.
The first one came in and I opened it up and it was just stickers. That's it. No membership card. No other merchandise, anything like that. Just literally a small package of stickers.
What sort of stickers were they? The membership. Tell me about the stickers.
Oh, you know, just the regular sheet you get. You know, go Dons or whatever they are. I don't know. They're filed away somewhere.
With the book. Don the Sash. Here's one.
Here's one. Don the Sash.
Okay. So that's from a few years ago. The marketing campaign from 4 years ago. Yeah, cool.
Okay. A few they're all the same. They haven't really changed too much over the last couple of years.
So I actually kept them. I just throw mine out.
No, I keep them. I put them somewhere.
He puts them in his little Essendon shrine in the corner.
Pretty bunch, yeah. So I thought, call up the membership line or whatever, and they were like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no worries. We'll send you out another card. And so I was expecting, like, okay, well, obviously, you've fucked up, so kind of show a little bit extra, go a bit of above and beyond, you know, for the, you know, as a long time member like myself for my second membership pack. And it comes in, it's literally just the card. Didn't even give me an extra set of stickers. No hat, no scarf. Like, what the fuck's going on?
Not even a letter of acknowledgement.
No apology. Nothing.
Yeah.
You got to be better. You've got to be better than that. Customer service is very important. It's not hard to do it good.
That's sort of what the song's sort of alludes to, doesn't it? Solution where you get the club being so good on one hand, it's swiping your money, and then so shit on the other hand.
Well, it's not the song didn't really allude to it, but yes, I definitely agree. And I think I said that earlier in this podcast. They are really efficient at the direct debit. not much else. But they are footy clubs. I'm sure we're not the only club. Or maybe we are. Question without notice. Do you reckon... I was wondering, is it because I'm an Essendon supporter and I follow Essendon accounts that I see Essendon in the media all the time? Or does the media disproportionately talk about Essendon in the off-season?
We're definitely the focus. There's no doubt. There's far more articles about Essendon than any other club.
Still the whipping boy?
Well, this is everything. They just tie everything to Essendon. It just gets a bit of a... it gets people up and about, especially from the other clubs. They like ragging on Essendon. And yeah, it's just easy. Easy for the media to just bring Essendon into a story for a couple more clicks.
There is one story that's genuinely newsworthy at the moment about Essendon. That's how well our women are going, because it's essentially one game to go, then finals, and we will, like 98% sure, we'll make the finals, which is pretty good for your second year in a comp. And they shut the bet against West Coast, I think, 2 weeks ago last, but the 2 weeks before that, and also on the weekend against Carlton, they played some fantastic footy. They're really zinging along. So I keep your eyes out for the women making the finals.
And played at the Sacred Ground on the weekend, Windy Hill?
Yeah.
Oh, shout out to, I'll tell you who's the deity of the week. Charlie Don's sent a picture with old mate. I actually don't have Twitter in front of me right now. But a guy was rocking the windsock hoodie. Collector's item. It was been about 7 years since it was...
What an OG hoodie.
Yeah, yeah. It was an OG hoodie.
It looked in good condition as well.
Yeah,
which is either... Either he's never worn it or...
Mate, those hoodies
very good care of it.
Were quality. Quality. The mob was called... check them out, Designs to You, in fact, was the mob that did them. And they specialise in school uniform. Shout out, Designs to You. But they're quality, only the best for the windsock. So, to see one out in the wild still was fantastic. So that person is deity.
Yep.
And of course, quality is something that's synonymous with the podcast.
On all levels.
Yes.
High grade of production.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're petering out. Any last thoughts? Last words? No?
No. You know, off season we'll go disappear for a bit, and then we'll get the and the players come back. We'll see who's kept their word to Brad and trained hard, and those who haven't.
See how many of the chlamydia club come back in good order.
Yep. Get ready for their penicillin jabs. All right. Well, on that note, that's a wonderful note to end on. So we will do the Christmas stocking in December, and we'll also do, maybe in November we'll do the Fiona's 2024 forecast. We'll forecast the entire year. But, and speaking of Fiona, check out Something About Cake, our sponsor. Go back and like some of the old episodes. Oh, somebody did ask if we could do an OG, it's something we used to do back in the day, a song compilation, for some stupid reason. Somebody asked for that. So I'll do that as well. I'll compile all the songs and cause your oral cavities to explode in pain. But yeah, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened. Check out Something About Cake, and we'll see you in November.
Go Bombers.
Go Bombers.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. feel real good. Gonna make a difference, gonna make me feel kinda nice. Gonna do something new, membership I won't renew. Gonna find a hobby. Might learn a language or to meditate, but I know I'll feel real good. But hang on a moment, just wait. I'm staring at my bank statement. All I've got left is loose change, because Essendon has made a direct debit. So I guess I'm going every week, gonna look at the game and feel the pain. Na 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 na. I've been a victim of a painful kind of love, but now it's time I realize they'll keep sending. Money keep caring, there's no point me pretending that I won't. Emotions deeply scarred, like jocks after a fart, but it's a brand new year. So I'll get my hopes up once again, because let's be honest, I am just a tragic fan. I'm staring at my bank statement. All I've got left is loose change, because Essendon has made a direct debit. So I guess I'm going every week, gonna look at the game and feel the pain.